Accession number 29075, Reel 14.
Things that I missed. But again, having been in the Ministry of Defence, I was already more than halfway into Civvy Street. I often used to feel sorry for myself that I wasn't in command of a nice shore establishment, and that I'd, you know, go out with a bang at the end of my time. With those people who did have that, they rushed off the edge of the cliff and landed up usually with a pretty horrid bump at the bottom. They found it very hard to make the adjustment to civil life. Initially, gradually, you know, you have to be adaptable, and you get there. But the fact that Civvy Street isn't there welcoming you with open arms, and you do have to work hard to find a job. It depends what sort of a job you want. If you want to be a petrol pump attendant, no difficulty at all. But if you want to have a job with responsibility and where you can make a contribution, they're difficult to find. A lot of civilian employers don't understand the qualities that are available from the services. And I think it's the same now as it was when I left, unfortunately, from all that I hear. Anyway, it's wonderful to be out of the rat race. I was going to just say something about the, you know, overall with regard to the Navy in my time, and that is as a supply officer.
Graham Meredith, Reel 14.
I had a very good start to my career by getting the Queen's Sword, and I was the first pusser ever to get it. And then there was talk about offering me just to switch to being a seaman, and other people advised, encouraged, or whatever. Anyway, I stayed as I was, which I don't regret. And then very soon after, when I was a sub-lieutenant, they introduced the general list, which made a tremendous difference. It was known colloquially by many people as the emancipation of the pussers. I don't think it was that much of an emancipation. But it did enable pussers to do more general jobs, both in a ship. I mean, I immediately became doing officer of the day and things like that, which were unheard of just a few years before. And I was the first pusser to get a watchkeeping ticket for sea watchkeeping. I had an expectation that job opportunities would broaden more quickly than they did. Of course, there was quite a lot of defensive retreating by some of the other branches, particularly the seamen and their sub-branches. And I had thought that we would make more progress than we actually did along this way. Now, in 2006, they have formed the logistics branch, rather than supply and secretariat. And this is a move for which I have been in favour for the best part of 50 years, I suppose. And I think that there were inhibitions in the officer structure, where we had the general list, the special duties list, the supplementary list. I can understand exactly why they were invented, but we stuck with them for too long. And we should have got down to a single list of officers, which is, again, where eventually we have got to. But I remember in the mid-60s arguing passionately that this is the way we should go. But we didn't actually get there in that time, or in my time. So, I mean, I was very fortunate in the range of jobs I had, and the things I was able to do with them. And I was not really, you know, a narrow pusser. I was able to be very much a generalist pusser, which I found satisfying. There are other things I would have liked to have done which would have been more satisfying, But whether it would have included Ship Command, who knows? Because actually Ship Command is a something to which one's got to grow up through the operational stream. But we aviators who are flying helicopters or airplanes are allowed to drive ships. You know, why not buses? You don't have to be people who necessarily come up through the ops room. And it's just that I think that the Navy would have been strengthened if we'd had a broader range of employment, not only for the buses, but also for the engineers. The engineers, in my view, spent too long narrowly specialising people and creating narrow specialist jobs where really, once they had got their professional foundation experience under their belts, they could be much more use to the Navy as a whole and to their specialisation and its technicalities if they had more breadth. But there, you know, things have moved on, and it was a rather longer development phase that I think was really necessary. But that's folk, the organisations that folk have.
What was a PUSSO?
PUSSO is a supply and secretariat branch, known as PUSSOs. It's a derivation of the term PURSA. And it was all of those duties of a PURSA in the Merchant Navy, and then the secretarial function, that's sort of personal staff function, which one does as a captain secretary or an admiral secretary along the way.
Could you talk a little bit about how the Navy changed throughout your career in terms of its structure and its politics and how it reflected social changes?
Well, firstly, its structure. I mean, it became less and less of a big ship navy, and the emphasis was very much on driven by the operational requirement of the Cold War, anti-submarine. The submarine navy expanded with nuclear submarines and Polaris. The fleet air arm went into decline and then got a new breath of life with the Invincible class of carriers, but there were not many big ships. The Navy now of the future, looking in the early years of the 21st century, is going back towards big ships and fewer of the frigates, because there is not the same threat and the demand of anti-submarine. It's not absolutely negligible, but where the Navy became very much an anti-submarine Navy, things are now going more into power projection and foreign shores and east of Suez and so on. And the along the way, the Navy then had a number of very small ships from which they got most tremendous value. The coastal minesweepers and the Type 14 frigates, which were cheap, small crew, and yet the Navy's reputation was upheld by those little ships and the way they were able to undertake all sorts of patrolling and tasks, lots of sudden jobs which came up, and they could be fulfilled by those. Now, that element, the coastal minesweepers and the Type 14 frigate, has disappeared from the Navy. I mean, there are minesweepers, but there are very few of them. Those sort of ships provided marvellous junior command opportunities. But the Navy changed a lot, of course, in its command structure by the closure of the Far East, the East Indies Station, the West Indies Station, the South America and South Atlantic, and this was all part of the winds of change, really. And a lot of it was really quite a, it was thoroughly logical. It all was. It was regrettable not to have the opportunities to serve abroad as much. And then, very much the focus for training is now with the Commander-in-Chief, who is down for the Naval Home Command, who's down at Portsmouth, who is now the Second Sea Lord. So that's a sort of mixing of functions. And none the worse for that. And the fleet is now under one command, but is it breaking down a bit, where you have the Commander-in-Chief in Northwood and the Deputy Commander in Commander-in-Chief in Portsmouth? I'm not saying that they're wrong, but that is the sort of difference. And indeed, with closed dockyards, ships used to refit in Milford Haven when I first joined the Navy. Must be 50 years since the last one was seen. And of course our shipbuilding industry has reduced. Those coastal minesweepers were built up all sorts of little creeks all over the country. Now we're virtually down to Barrow and Scotstoun, and that's the entire shipbuilding capacity. There's great arguments about the future, about Swan Hunter and on the Tyne, whether they will continue. Don't know. People did develop, they changed, they improved. One of the things I think which is noticeable since the early 50s is that everybody is prepared to speak up and give their view. People visiting ships can talk to any sailor and will get a sensible response. Whereas, the relics of the Second World War were there to be spoken to but not to speak, or so they perceived. Although once you got beneath their shell, they had plenty to say for themselves. People are obedient, but discipline can be questioned. Why? And that is really quite healthy, because it does demand a higher standard of leadership by officers and senior ratings. If people are likely to politely imply, even if they don't ask it directly, why? And I think there's a much healthier atmosphere. It's much more like civil society, really, in that respect. I think that in one area of activity, the Navy has changed very little, is in its self-sufficiency. People are not part of the benefits culture and that sort of thing. And things I have done in the charitable field in London make one realise just how many people at the poorer end of our society. Maybe they are really deprived, they've not had a decent education and that sort of thing. How they're very willing to run for benefit and make up reasons for running if the reasons don't exist. But one must realise that the people who one has in the Navy have had a good education, or reasonable standard of education. They don't get in if they are not reasonably well educated. And that actually is would be the subject of a thesis for life, that just got to improve the education system in our country. And that also means improving parents' attitudes towards education as well.
And has the introduction of women serving had any major impact on naval practices and then?
Well, I can't really say that from first-hand experience because I left the Navy before women went to sea. But certainly what one saw as the way they were more widely employed ashore during my time in the Navy, I would say that it will have had an impact. There are certain jobs which women basically are better at. Staring at radar screens in ops rooms is one of them. Their nimble fingers for aircraft mechanics is another. And the Navy has had women aircraft mechanics since the Second World War without interruption. And but how it is for having women in ships at sea, I can't really answer that at all because I have no experience. I have heard, I don't know whether it's still true, that very few women volunteer to go back to sea. And if that is the case, then not everything is right yet